Hi, I'm Chris.
I'm Ryan.
St. Louis at Chicago. We have Buffalo at Cleveland.
We got Tampa Bay at Dallas.
Detroit at Tennessee.
Jacksonville at Indianapolis.
I'm taking Kane. I'm taking T-Bone.
Oh, he's looking USC. Man-child. He's
RG3 MVP.
I'm about to get real emotional.
Hello, everybody. You're listening to NFL Now. We're joined along with Kwashi Jeter. And for the first time this season, Shane Bush, who will be providing his insight with us this week. So, hello, Shane. How are you?
Hello, I'm good. I'm good.
We have a couple of quick topics to talk about from Week 5 before we get into our predictions for Week 6. And first, the dramatic win that the Indianapolis Colts had this week over the Green Bay Packers. Their coach is in the hospital battling leukemia.
Leukemia.
And the Colts just cancer. A dramatic...
Leukemia. Same thing.
How's leukemia and cancer the same thing?
Like the same thing.
It's not the same thing.
Well, Andrew Luck takes the Colts all the way down the field. They kick a field goal. They scored a touchdown, right?
We really know what we're talking
about. And then Green Bay comes down the field. They set up for a game-winning field goal, and they miss. A dramatic win for the Colts. Luckily, I took the Colts. And, I mean, as simple as that, with the pressure that was on Andrew Luck in his final drive, what do you guys think about just the way that he handled the offense driving down the field?
I think he did good. That was Peyton Manning-ish.
I think that was great for a rookie quarterback.
Yeah, that was like Peyton Manning-ish, man. He went down the field, he drew the ball.
Is that a new word now?
Peyton Manning-ish.
The man-child? Peyton Manning-ish.
I mean, for quarterbacks. And when you do something like that, I mean...
It's Manning-ish because Eli has that trait, too, to drive down the field in the last 2 minutes of the game to come back.
It's a Manning thing, you know.
It's a man-child thing.
Yeah.
Another big story from last week was RG3 getting injured. They say he has a concussion. They're not sure. He's questionable for Sunday.
A slight concussion.
Oh, my God. And, of course, Ryan denies everything because his quarterback does not know how to slide. And
hey, he's a man.
He's a man-child.
Oh, yeah.
Look, you can be a man all you want. You're still getting a concussion.
I mean...
It's like that game last week against Tampa Bay.
He should have went out of bounds.
Yeah, he said, in the press conference after the game, he was saying how he learned he felt like he let his team down.
That was like last week against Tampa Bay. He took it way out. He was way out in the open field, and he got rocked.
Got worried. Exactly.
Nah, I mean, I think if they would have had RG3 at the end of the game, they probably would have won.
I think it would be a different outcome.
Yeah.
Do you think he'll play this Sunday?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
A minor concussion, he's going to be on the...
Well, but once RG3 came out, Kirk Cousins' first drive wasn't that bad. He threw a 77-yard touchdown by Santana Moss.
I think that may contribute to the fact that maybe they will sit him this Sunday. Just because with concussions nowadays, you don't want to risk anything. If they can put enough trust into their backup quarterback, they might sit him just for one week.
But I don't think there's enough trust in the backup quarterback. Because after that drive, he threw three picks.
Three.
Yeah.
I didn't get to see too much of the Redskins.
I think he got thrown into the fire. I think Kirk Cousins is actually...
He definitely got put in a spot where it's hard to be put in.
Is a pretty good quarterback.
Especially as a rookie quarterback.
Yeah, he is.
He was. I thought he was really good.
I mean, having to follow RG3 is pretty tough.
Yeah, and plus, I mean, if you're a backup coming to the game, not a lot of backups. Period are going to come in and light it up, you know.
And then Michael Vick last Sunday against Pittsburgh, in the Eagles 16-14 loss, fumbling the ball all over the place.
Again.
Turnovers killing the Eagles, and it was once again a close game, just won by 2 points.
If you watched the game, Michael Vick did try to tuck the ball. He tried, and it just kept getting ripped up.
He still hangs the ball out there too much like this, though.
That's not the yards.
Do we have four Eagles fans right now? We have four Eagles fans in here right now?
Well, I think you really can't... I mean, you could blame Vick for...
Oh, no, I'm not blaming
some of the
Vic.
Turnovers and our losses, but at the same time, Vic hasn't done anything that bad other than turn the ball over. If you take away the turnovers, Vic's been playing pretty well.
Think about the first downs that he had, that he received, and the touchdown, the last game that he received.
I mean, for the winning. Every time that the Eagles lose, that all the attention turns right to Michael Vick, and I can understand
some of the
accusations can be put on your quarterback, but I mean there are a few holes in that Eagles loss. I mean the defense on that final drive where the Steelers ended up winning the game, they just didn't play the way that they've been playing all season. The defense did not do a job.
To me, I feel like you can't put the blame on Vick personally because he's only one player. He doesn't determine if you win a game or lose it.
I feel like
he makes an impact on winning or losing a game, but
yeah,
there's more to it. The defense could have played better that last drive and stopped them. And
they just marched down the field.
Yeah, or the offensive line could have made a couple more blocks. There's always something.
So Vick wouldn't get hit as much.
Exactly. So there's always something there other than just Michael Vick himself. You can't make it about Vic when the Eagles lose.
With the Eagles, I feel like they don't have really a leader on that team. I don't see Vic as a leader on that team.
I think Vic is a leader.
He is. It's just he gets bombarded so much.
Vic is the leader. It's just people don't see him as a leader because of what he did in the past couple of years.
They look at the negatives and say, oh, he's not a leader. But, I mean, you have to look at the positives as of Michael Vick.
And I just think that you just can't put all the blame on Vick.
You can't.
There's so much more that we could do better. I mean
our pass defense did not do well at all in that Steelers drive at the end of the game. As we move to our Week 6 predictions, tomorrow night, Thursday Night Football, we have the Pittsburgh Steelers traveling to Tennessee. It's not interdivision. Pittsburgh traveling to Tennessee.
After this shit.
Pittsburgh traveling to Tennessee.
Thursday
what do you got?
Night game.
Thursday night game.
Oh, Pittsburgh. Tennessee is terrible right now.
Tennessee needs locker back.
Terrible.
Hasselbeck is playing like a scrub.
They sound like Charles Barkley. Terrible.
They have the worst defense in the NFL right now. Giving up.
They're probably one of the worst teams in the NFL.
Well, I'm definitely not taking Tennessee.
You gotta go. Pittsburgh here on the road.
And they're coming off of a win against the Eagles. So
yeah
from a 34-yard chip shot.
Yeah.
At the end of the game, as we move to Sunday's. I'm going Pittsburgh here too. By the way, so that way we have a clean sweep of Pittsburgh. As we move to Sunday's games, we have Oakland traveling to Atlanta to face the undefeated Falcons.
Atlanta.
I'm going with Atlanta. I mean, they just it's so hard to stop them on offense. Even though I think the Redskins did a pretty good job on Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan in that offense. I think they couldn't contain Gonzalez, though, for some reason. He just couldn't tackle him.
Gonzalez, I think they were saying, had his best game of his career.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. They couldn't contain Gonzalez, and I think that was a big.
That's kind of bad for your linebackers when you can't contain the tight end. And I mean, I understand. I mean, he's a Hall of Famer.
He's probably the best tight end in the league.
He's a Hall of Famer down the road.
He can go in the Hall of Fame right after he retires.
I mean, he's that good. One of the best tight ends of all time, along with Shannon Sharp. Maybe.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm going to have to go Atlanta here. I mean, they've just been playing good football, and I can see them winning at home here against Oakland.
And their defense plays well, too, so that's always a plus when you have a good defense.
We have the Battle of Ohio, Cincinnati traveling to Cleveland to take on the Browns. Again. Are you still going with Cleveland?
See, Cleveland played so good last week against
the Giants.
And for some reason, they can't finish. They did the same thing with Buffalo. They played good the first couple quarters, and I already knew. I'm like, watch when the fourth quarter or third quarter starts, the Giants are going to go up by like 3 touchdowns, and that's what happened. But I don't know.
Cleveland? We still taking
it? Cincinnati didn't play that well, and I'm going to go with Cleveland. I feel like they're going to get their first win somewhere down the line because they played good for, like, 3 quarters. And then, like, it's like the fourth, or they played good for 2 quarters. They don't finish. And they got like I said, they have some weapons out there. So I'm going to take Cleveland this week.
I'm taking Cleveland, too. Like, if they're going to win a game, I feel like now is when they're going to win a game.
Yeah, I feel like it has to be against a lesser team.
They need to win. No, like,
they could have beat the Giants last week.
They scored a lot of points for a team that doesn't have any wins. Quite a lot of points.
But it was funny because at one point they were up like 17-0. Why do you let
them
lead
up? It's just like,
I feel that if they can do what they did against the Giants last week, they will win this game. But I do have a feeling that Cincinnati may play a good game as well. I know that
Cincinnati could steamroll them.
Exactly.
Easily.
I mean,
they have
the
weapons.
Abilities.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to go Cincinnati here.
I'm going Cleveland.
Sorry.
Cleveland.
But I will say this as a side note. If Cleveland plays the way they did last week, I believe that they will get their first win of the season.
Whoa. Who are you picking in your pool?
In the pool? I'm taking Cincinnati. Next, we have St. Louis traveling to South Florida to take on the Dolphins.
Take it St. Louis.
I'm taking St. Louis, too. I think St. Louis. I mean, I don't know, because they've got Amendola.
Amendola?
Yeah, so I'm going to take Miami. I think Miami's, they played well last week. They won last week, right? They beat Cincinnati, right?
I have no idea.
Yeah.
They beat them, right?
Miami beat Cincinnati.
Well, Reggie Bush, once again, man child this year. he's playing really well. So I'm going to actually go with Miami.
I see Steven Jackson getting better, though.
Yeah, I feel that if they don't have Amendola, they're going to go more for the running game.
But
I think Steven Jackson.
The only reason I see Steven Jackson going better is because now he's working for a contract from a team. Because the Rams had released that they said they're not re-signing him next year. So he's a free agent after the season. So he's working to look good for a contract right now, so a team wants to pay him.
I think they might turn into the rushing game. This Sunday, and I'm going to take St. Louis. And next we have the Indianapolis Colts. Big win last week over Green Bay. They traveled to the Meadowlands to take on the New York Jets.
Man, what happened to Green Bay? I don't know. Like, they were so good last year.
And you know what happened? They don't have a damn line. They don't have a line. Everyone's pretty much caught up to their little scheme on offense.
Yeah.
They're going to pass the ball. Defensively, they really don't have much. I mean, they really haven't done anything. I just don't. Clay Matthews. he really hasn't sparked this year yet.
He's not bad.
Woodson's getting old.
Yeah. Definitely another one of those aging teams.
They're a team that's kind of declining a little bit, and they need maybe some youth in there. And with B.J. Raji out and Cedric Benson out.
Sure,
enough is out for the season.
Yeah, I didn't hear anything about him.
But he's a big part of the defense. Offensively, they have their running back out, Cedric Benson.
Yeah.
I think he's out with like a ankle injury. So they're pretty, and they were already low on running backs. So
yeah.
I mean, they're declining this year.
Definitely.
But who are they going against again?
It's Indianapolis against the Jets.
I thought we were talking.
He brought up about Green Bay. I said Indianapolis big win over Green Bay last week. He's like, "Whatever happened to Green Bay?" And then
five-minute
conversation.
I thought it was Green Bay. Well,
I don't feel like
Indianapolis versus who? The Jets.
The Colts and the Jets.
I'm going
Colts here.
I'm going Jets.
I'm calling Kwashi the underdog from now on.
Kwashi, you're gonna go with the team that's not supposed to win every time.
I think the Jets have a better team. And I thought they played well against the Texans, who's probably one of the best teams in the league right now. They didn't play bad. Yeah.
I'm going to have to go to Indianapolis here. I feel that that win last week really just boosted the morale on this team. And
Andrew Luck had a bullet for an arm, though.
He's a great quarterback.
Yeah.
I think he really is starting to begin to take control of
this
offense.
This is the era of quarterbacks. This, like, new generation of quarterbacks coming in. RG3.
Yeah.
And Andrew Luck. Guys like that.
Cousins has a pretty good bullet, too.
Kirk Cousins can play.
Yeah, right into the defender's arms.
I mean, he started for 4 years. He was a starter in college for 4 years.
Like, when he first came out after RG3 went in, I was like, wow, he's actually really good. And, like, that ball was like a bullet. Like,
yeah, he's a good quarterback. It's just, you know, he fell through the cracks in the draft, you know.
Well, I think what the Redskins are trying to do with him is trying to get him better and then sell him for a good pick or something like that.
Or maybe even have him for a backup. You always need a backup quarterback.
Especially with RG3 with him running.
Yeah.
You're just going to need someone.
Well, next we have the Detroit Lions traveling to Philadelphia to take on the Eagles. And
you already know I'm going with the Eagles, baby. And I'm taking the
Eagles, and I'll explain why. And it's just pretty much the same thing that it's been all season. Is that
Calvin Johnson and we'll win.
I mean, the focus on this game, forget about Michael Vick. The focus on this game is going to be on our defense. Because our defense let us down that last drive last week. And, I mean, the Eagles, they've run some good offensive plays. And they have the ability. But Vick has got to stop turning the ball over, and the defense has got to step up. On both pass and rush.
Who do you think they should put on Calvin Johnson?
No, it's not on Calvin Johnson. I would say do what every team's been doing. You can't one-on-one cover Calvin Johnson every play.
I would say try to bring Dominic Rodgers-Cromartie across.
Every team I've watched, They run with a safety over top of Calvin Johnson at all times, so it's like a double team.
Well, see, no, here's what I did. I would try my best to bring the safeties across the field to cover Johnson and make sure that you have some of the cornerbacks cover the other receivers on the other side. You know what I mean? Like, try to slingshot play, pretty much. Yeah, as you're bringing guys down the field, you're bringing guys up the field, you're pretty much switching the coverage as the play is going on. And that'll ensure that you get to double-team Calvin Johnson.
Most teams I've seen, like, that had success in Calvin Johnson didn't have big numbers.
Yeah.
They pretty much just shadowed him with someone over the top, like a safety playing over top of him with a corner playing underneath of him.
If Stafford overthrows the ball, he's probably going to go right into a defender's hands. Probably going
into double-team coverage. I mean,
it's going to get picked off.
Yeah.
And then that's where the attention turns to Vic and the offense.
You
got to
make someone else beat you. You can't let Calvin Johnson. If they beat us, can't let Calvin Johnson beat us.
But I'm going Philadelphia here.
Yeah.
Taking Detroit.
You would.
I would. Every week.
Next, we have Kansas City at Tampa Bay.
Kansas City stinks. But Tampa Bay isn't that good.
I'll take Tampa.
But
we'll go to Tampa here. And let's talk about what's been going on with the Chiefs fans. I mean, we all saw what happened when Matt Castle went down with the injury and all the Chiefs fans started cheering. I mean, even the players, I believe Eric Winston, one of the offensive linemen for the Chiefs, just went off in the post game talking about how embarrassed he was to be playing for that organization with the fans cheering for their own guy getting hurt. And the first thing I thought of was, you know, years ago when Michael Irvin got hurt in Philadelphia and it was his career-ending injury, that all the Eagles fans started cheering. And, I mean, I can understand because it's an opposing player and we all know Philadelphia fans. We can be a little bit rowdy at hard times.
For your own kind? I mean, he's your quarterback. You don't cheer when
your
he gets
your quarterback.
Hurt.
Well, some people said that they wanted Brady Quinn to come in and they kept Castle in there.
Brady Quinn is not... No, he sucks. He's getting tossed around the league because he's not good. He was a number one overall pick. Was he? He was definitely in like the top 10.
By the Browns, right?
Yeah, and he is not good.
Let me ask you this. I mean, how quickly did he fade off the map of guys who got drafted in the first round?
Coming out of college,
he was one of the big draft and I mean, for what? The first season when he was with Cleveland, people were like, oh, you know, he may have a chance to help Cleveland get back in the race. Yeah. I didn't even know he played for Kansas City until they mentioned it.
I mean, exactly. That's what I'm saying. You bring in Brady Quinn. See, this is the thing with people. I don't get people sometimes. Like, the fans. You know,
fans
of any team. They always come at the necks of the quarterbacks in the head. They want to chop their heads off.
Do Falcons fans do that to you?
Not necessarily. I'm just saying, period. I mean, when you're losing, the first thing they want to say is the quarterback. Cassidy hasn't been playing that well, but the team's not that good.
But you don't think it's Castle's fault?
I mean, they're losing, but it's way more than just Castle. That while they're losing, they don't have much there but Jamal Charles, maybe.
I'm going to have to go Tampa Bay here. I mean, I think Kansas City is way too rattled to try to win this football game.
Josh Freeman, man.
Yeah, Josh Freeman, MVP. No, I'm kidding.
I'm not.
Next, we have Dallas traveling to Baltimore.
Ooh, Baltimore.
I might have to go Baltimore on this one.
Definitely Baltimore.
I don't think anyone wants to take Dallas just because they're in all of our divisions.
Well, I mean, not just that. It's just I do not think that Dallas can match up with Baltimore's offense and defense. All right, but after that, we have Buffalo traveling to Arizona.
I didn't put on that game.
What was that?
We have Buffalo at Arizona. Cardinals rattled after that 17-3 loss last week against St. Louis Buffalo on Thursday Night
Cardinals
Football.
Cardinals going 4-1.
Buffalo.
I'll take Cardinals.
I'm going to have to go Arizona here.
Okay.
Next, we have New England traveling to Seattle to take on the Seahawks.
New England.
What?
All right,
I'm going...
I'm going New England here.
New England and Seattle, you said?
Yeah.
See, I will go New England, but I don't know. It's something about Seattle that has, like, that little, I don't know, just, like, they just stick out there somehow.
Russell Wilson?
I think they're a pretty good team.
I'm going New England here. I think they're finally starting to begin that offensive punch that they always used to have. But after that, we have the New York Giants traveling to San Francisco in a rematch of the NFC Championship game from last year.
San Fran.
By 2 touchdowns.
Really? I might have to agree with San Fran. I think it might be a little closer game than that.
I think it's coming down to a field goal, but I'm going with Giants.
Yeah. I'm going to say by 7 points, San Fran.
San Fran by at least 14.
That's
the Browns have 17, nothing.
I guess if you take that in consideration.
If San Fran goes up 17-0, it's a wrap. They're not coming back against San Fran. I think San Fran is the better team. And
they are.
And I don't think the Giants are that good.
Well, next we have Minnesota, who is on a tear right now. Just and it all started with that upset win over San Francisco. They traveled to Washington to take on the Redskins.
Who did they play last week?
Last week, Minnesota played the Titans. And
yeah, they beat them. They're on a tear, but
they're
playing
a tear.
The best teams.
Yeah.
I think if
they beat San Francisco and Detroit 2 weeks in a row.
Well, yeah, but if RG3's back and well, I say Washington.
RG3's going to play.
Yeah.
And the Vikings have been playing well, really well. But it's kind of a hard game to pick, though. It's kind of a toss-up. It can go either way.
It's in Washington.
Washington has not yet won a home game.
They have lost 8 consecutive home games.
I'm hoping that this is...
I'm going Minnesota.
It's a winnable game for both teams.
Yeah.
I'm picking Minnesota
here. Did you see Ryan Kerrigan last game?
No.
Got that interception?
Yeah, got an interception for a run back. Second year in a row. And he's only been in the NFL for 2 years.
Congratulations.
Yeah. Congratulate him.
I mean, you're the one that always wears his jersey around.
My homeboy.
Yeah, your homeboy. But next we have the Sunday Night Football game. Green Bay limping, going up against the a team full of men children.
A team full of men children.
The Houston Texans. And Cedric Benson is out for Green Bay.
Houston.
What's called?
Houston.
Who got injured on Houston that's out for the season with ACL tear?
Sure. Was it Brian Cushing?
Brian Cushing, that's who it was. Out for the season with ACL tear.
That's a blow to their defense, but
yeah,
still, they make up for them, though. They make up for that with the offense.
J.J. Watt.
There's no competition here. Houston wins.
Green Bay is limping way too much on
Houston.
At the
end of the season, you know what we're going to do on this podcast? We're going to have an award podcast. We're going to give out awards to players that we make up in categories that we make up. And then we'll actually...
Man, child of the year is going to be the MVP.
And then we will actually send them a trophy.
Good luck with that.
Good luck with that one, too, because...
And Houston.
I don't think we're going to get...
recognition for that.
Or we're going to be able to get their address, you know.
We'll send it to the team.
Yeah, okay.
It says right here that Cedric Benson is out. The next at least 8 weeks and possibly the rest of the season. And that's just yet another blow for the
Green Bay team. They don't have running backs.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm going Houston
Ryan
here.
Ryan Ritz with you guys.
And I didn't even know that.
You didn't know that? We got him 2-3 weeks ago.
I know.
He's injured, though.
He played.
When?
Last week. I saw him get a couple carries.
That's been 2 weeks ago. He was on IR.
Yeah.
And finally, the Monday night game, Denver at San Diego.
Denver, Peyton Manning,
yeah.
Right now.
I'm going Denver simply because the Chargers just dropped that game against New Orleans last week.
Yeah.
Which, and this is why, you know, we haven't mentioned anything about Drew Brees because the Saints are on the bye week this week, but Drew Brees breaking Johnny Unitas' record, and I'm going to have to give credit for that. I a little shout out there. That was quite an accomplishment that.
But you, Drew Brees is a monster. But also, I didn't know they threw the ball that much back then. Johnny Unitas? Oh, my God.
Well,
those are the days of Unitas and Joe Namath.
Back then, it was either you threw the ball or you passed, or you ran the ball. There wasn't really either.
I mean, it seemed that in the 40s and 50s, the running was just... I mean, if you were a running back, you ran all over the place.
Yeah.
I mean, it's times like this in almost every sport. Like, you know, kind of like baseball. It's like pitching, hitting. You know, in football, it's the same way. It's like you go through the era of just passing. Like now, we're in a passing era. And eventually, we will go right back to that rushing era. But right now, we are in a pass-happy
I think we're also in
time.
A defensive area, you could say.
Yeah, I could say
defenses
that.
Defenses are definitely...
But, I mean, I see Denver winning this Monday night game. Well, who do you got?
I picked Denver.
Denver? You're going Denver?
Yeah, Denver.
And before we go, we just want to let everybody know that Under Armour is holding their Finding Undeniable contest once again. We want everybody who has a Facebook and a Twitter to go online and vote for Oakrest. The winner receives, I believe, $140,000 in athletic gear. And it's a great thing. Last year, Oakrest finished in the top 10 in the nation, so number 8 to be exact. So hopefully, with all your support, we can help become number 1 in this year's contest. All right, and that pretty much wraps it up. And before we go, we just want to remind everybody, October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and the NFL is helping to tackle breast cancer in their breast cancer awareness campaign.
You can go to NFLshop.com/BCA to get all your team's gear and to donate towards breast cancer awareness.
So we want everybody to get involved, and it's a great thing the NFL does every year. So hopefully everyone gets involved and help tackle breast cancer together. We want to thank everybody for listening to this week's podcast, and we hope to see everybody next week for week 7.